Well, thank you, Pastor Chris. Thank you, worship team. And man, it's good to be back here in the saddle. No pun intended, but it's good to be back and to be back here in the pulpit. I was here last Sunday, and last Sunday, Pastor Coy did a great job. Our youth pastor did a fantastic job. And in fact, all of our staff and our pastors that have been preaching in the series that we're in, they've done a fantastic job. Every one of them, and I appreciate every one of their messages. And every one of them is so powerful about a verse that changed their life. And I hope you get the concept of this. This is a story, but man, you have a story too. And God is using these verses in the scripture to change your life as well. And I hope you're reading the Bible, not for your information, but for your transformation. And that's what we're reading the scripture, and that's what's happening here, and it's all about. So let's just thankful for every one of them, Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, Pastor Chris, Coy, and for being a part of this series. And so next Sunday, by the way, we wrap up this series, and we have one more speaker, and she can be sharing her testimony about how a verse changed her life. And so it'll be Karen, my wife, and she can be up here speaking next Sunday morning. And so it'll be your first time. And so she's gonna be fantastic. She's gonna do a great job, and she's gonna be just kind of sharing what God has done in her life and the verse that changed her life. And I hope you'll be inspired by her testimony next week and what you hear. And also next Sunday, not in your program, but we're also gonna end the service with communion. And so I hope you'll be here. And no Labor Day weekend. There's the Peace Festival going on up the road and all the stuff. There's a lot happening. And a lot of us, you know, if you haven't started school starts that weekend on Tuesday. So I think we're all kind of like settling down. Maybe you're going out of town. And that, if that's the case, that's great. Hope you watch us online and just follow along with us. But I hope you'll be here next Sunday morning. And it's going to be great. Now, last Sunday, we had 5 baptisms. Isn't that awesome? We had 5 baptisms to celebrate last Sunday. It was great. Great, great week to be back. And I also mentioned last week, our English class was starting up here in a couple of weeks. And we're thankful for, got some new volunteers, get them plugged in. The past Monday night, I happened to be here and have before the class gets started, it's kind of like a testing, assessment, so to speak, to help them, because we have different levels. We have different levels on a Monday night. For those that don't know nothing, no English, we have a class for them. For those that are a little bit more advanced, they know some but needs to learn more, all the way up to a level where, they're trying to sound more. Kind of lose some of the accent, So they're doing a lot of different stuff there. It's incredible in what we're doing and helping them. Last Monday night, just watching people come in, I was just coming in, getting ready for the new semester. And different people from different corners of our planet walking into the church building. That's incredible. That's the mission field right there. And I love that we're there doing that. And I mentioned last Sunday, and I'll say it again, we've got a program, purchased a program, and you can see I've got the closed caption going on right now, right here on my phone. And so we're going to get this launched. You'll be able to see that next week or so. You can see it in English. You can see it in Hispanic, Albanian, any language. That you need, we'll have that available. And what's really cool is we'll be able to talk to those attending the classes on Monday night and say, listen, we have this available in your language right here on Sunday morning. And so it's because of your faith for giving, your mission dollars, that allow us to do this and to be able to get the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed in as many languages as possible. And so for them, they'll be able to, you can split screen it. You can kind of do a little, I can put right here one, let's see here. You probably can't see it, but I've got English up here on the top, I've got the Hispanic here on the bottom. And so that's kind of neat. So if you're a person that's trying to learn the language of English, but got to hear it in the Spanish language and read it in English language and hear it in the English, it's a great tool. And so you might have a neighbor. Think about it. This opens up the whole mission field for people to invite to church, right? And so, man, I've got people that, my neighbors that don't know English very well, I'm gonna invite them to church. And so really excited about that. And so the next couple of weeks, we'll have that available where you'll be able to see that and do that yourself. We had someone this morning needed the English closed caption. She said, man, this was perfect. What, you know, awesome for me. And I was so helpful. And so I'm excited about that. Is that exciting to you, or is it just me talking? All right, there we go. Well, I want to get into this message here. I want to talk about overcoming insecurity. Talk about overcoming insecurity. One of my greatest challenges that I've had to deal with in my life is dealing with my own sense of inadequacy, my low self-esteem, my insecurity. There's been times where I feel like I'm not good enough. You know, I can't do this. There's been times where I feel so insecure that I feel like I couldn't do anything for God. You know that every Sunday morning I deal with, you know, about the insecurity, where I feel like I'm inadequate. You know, the worst night of I have the hardest time sleeping is Saturday night, because there's this fear in me that I am not good enough. You know, and that lives in me. And I've had to work through this, and I hope that today this will help you to see what I've done to kind of work through this, not just a one-time event, but almost all the time in my life. And if you're here this morning, you say, man, I can relate. I get that, Scott. I can relate. Then I want you to know that you're in very good company. You're in good company because there are a lot of great men and great women in our Bible that had to deal with their insecurity. And one of the best examples in the scripture, and the one that really hit me at most, you know, kind of get, you know, and you're going to see in his story the verses that changed my life. And that example is a man named Moses. Moses was struggling with his insecurity. In Exodus chapter 3, we're going to look at chapter 3, and then we're going to look at some verses in chapter 4. But in Exodus chapter 3, it starts off in verse 1. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. Now, I think most of us here, we know who Moses is. If you grew up in Sunday school class, you know, you grew up with a flannel board, you know, and a flannel graph, and they put a little, you know, guy named Moses on it. And they had Moses right there with a rod in his hand, right? And that was Moses. And Moses was a Hebrew child, a Hebrew baby, was put in a little basket, right, and put in the river. Remember that flannel graph? They put that on a flannel graph too. You know, the whole story. And so there's Moses, you know, in a river hiding from the Pharaoh's hitmen, because they're looking to kill all the Hebrew boys. And he's hiding in the river in a little basket, kind of floating down. And Pharaoh's daughter happened to find the baby Moses in a basket. And she took the baby in. And she raised the baby as her own. Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh. But at some point in his life, in his adulthood life, he began to see how wicked and how evil and the harshness in the Egyptian people were to his fellow men and his fellow women. And he felt like, man, I got to step up. And he saw one of the Egyptians, you know, going, you know, beating up one of the Hebrew men, And one of the Hebrew men, and Moses decided to step in, right? And he stepped in and he killed the Egyptian guy. But there were eyewitnesses that found that, hey, you know, Moses murdered a man. And of course, that made big news. You know, he's the high official. He's in the Pharaoh's house. And all of a sudden, he's wanted. All right? And they're after him. And so Moses is now on the run. He's a fugitive. He runs out of the country, flees, and gets away, and he finds himself in a desert place on the backside of Mount Sinai, and he's now a shepherd. He is living in the prince's house like a prince, living in the king's house, and now he's living like a pauper. He's a shepherd, an ordinary, common shepherd. And by the way, there's no honor. There was no prestige for being a shepherd. There was nothing special about being a shepherd. And it was worse for Moses because he's watching somebody else's sheep. He didn't have his own sheep. He's watching over his father-in-law's flock. And his father-in-law was somebody. Father-in-law was a priest, Jethro, right? And he was, a priest is someone that commands honor. A priest is someone that commands respect. And Jethro was somebody. And Moses was just a nobody. He's just laboring away under the radar, hiding out, watching over someone else's sheep. And that's how maybe some of you feel. Maybe sometimes you feel just like Moses. You're just laboring away. You're under the radar. Nobody sees how hard you work. Nobody notices your contributions. Nobody cares what's going on in your life. You know, in our society, we're taught that there are somebodies and there are nobodies. And perhaps this morning you say, well, Scott, I am a nobody. And if that's you, and if that's where you're living, Moses would get this. He would totally understand that. But here's something else I want you to notice. I want you to notice the place where Moses is. He's not just on any mountain. He's at Mount Sinai, which is called the Mountain of God. Interesting enough, this past May when I was in Africa, and leaving Africa from Tanzania to Amsterdam, we took the red-eye flight. And, of course, you see the maps. You see where the plane is, right? You see where you're going. And I see a tracking directly over Mount Sinai. It's the closest I've ever gotten to Mount Sinai. And it's a powerful place. And if you know the Old Testament, so many incredible things happened that God did at this mountain. But at this point in the story, none of those things have happened yet. In Exodus chapter 3, right, Sinai called a mountain of God, not because of what God has done, but because of what God was going to do there. And one of those things was this incredible encounter between Moses and God here in chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 2. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Now Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I got to go see it. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God spoke to him from the middle of the bush. He said, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. So here's Moses, right? Here's Moses. He's ordinary, insignificant. He's in the middle of nowhere. Now, I can promise you that Moses, he never expected God to show up. But God exceeded his expectations. And he showed up anyway. And here's a lesson for all of us. You know, many of us, we come to church every Sunday. Every week we come here. This is the modern day mountain of God. We come to church every day, but you never come expecting God to show up. You never expect God to do amazing things. You don't expect something miraculous to happen. You know, you come here, but you don't expect to encounter God. And that's where Moses was. He wasn't expecting God to show up on the backside of a mountain. But God did. You see, God is not governed by people's limited perspectives. God is not governed by our small expectations. You know, God just shows up. And when God shows up, incredible things happen. And that's what happened here to Moses. Look at verse number 7. The Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel have reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. So God shows up, right? And he tells Moses, he says, hey, I've seen how the people have been suffering. I've seen how brutal the Egyptians have been toward my people, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to go rescue them. I'm going to lead my people out of Egypt into a land that I'm going to give them. I'm going to bless them. You know, I'm going to rescue them. It's going to be awesome. And I think at this point, Moses is hearing this, right? And Moses is like, man, that sounds great, God. That sounds terrific. I'm really glad that you're going to do something about it. I'm really glad that you're about to take care of it. Way to go, God. And then, the next verse, Bible says, God said, now, Moses, go. For I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. Now, I'm sure Moses did like what we would call a double take. I'm sure Moses would have said something like, what you talking about, Willis? I'm sure Moses was like, wait a minute, God. I was tracking here. I was with you 100% of the way. You were going to take care of it. You were going to rescue the people. But you want me? Did I hear that correctly? You want me? You want me to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the known world? You want me to go see him? You want me to have a confrontation with him and to tell him to let your people go? Moses was blown away by what God was calling him to do. Can I say this? If you could truly see what God is calling you to do, it would just blow your mind. It was just like, what? No way. God would never do this. If I told my wife 25 years ago that, hey, in 25 years, you're going to be doing a message, you're going to share your testimony one day in church, she would have said, uh-uh. No, that would never happen. I'm just comfortable, you know, in a chair, but would never do this, right? I mean, if she would have started 25 years ago where she is, she would have been blown away 25 years ago. Here's what happens when you can see the call that God has placed on your life. Here's what happens. I'm going to be honest. When you truly see the call of what God is calling you to do, you will feel small. You will feel inadequate. You will feel ill-equipped. It will just happen. In fact, feelings of insecurity is just a normal part of a life for a follower of Christ. It's normal. And the more you grow in Christ, the more you come to understand God's calling for your life, the more clearly then you begin to see what God wants to do in you and through you. And when you see that, the more inadequate that you will begin to feel. That's normal. But it can also be dangerous. And many times we allow our insecurity to cause us to feel insufficient, and we don't do anything that God wants us to do. And that's exactly what happened to Moses. I mean, it's what I'm telling you. Every Sunday, I feel inadequate. I feel ill-equipped. But God said, hey, you're going to preach every Sunday. Oh, God, are you sure? My low self-esteem can sometimes work through me. And I think that can happen to all of us. But look what happened in verse 11. You know, God just told Moses, hey, listen, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. You're going to lead my people out of Egypt. And here's how Moses responds. But Moses protested to God. He went on a picket line, protesting. He said, God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. Moses is asking God, he said, God, who am I? Who am I to go to Pharaoh? Who am I to lead your people to do anything or to go anywhere? I'm a lost cause. I'm a mess. I'm a failure. I'm broken. I'm inadequate. And when we're struggling with our insecurity, when we struggle of feelings of being inadequate, we oftentimes ask the wrong question. The wrong question. May I challenge you to ask the right question when we're feeling insecure? And so what's the wrong question? What's the right question? The wrong question is, God, who am I? That's the wrong question. If I'm feeling insecure this morning, and I'm saying, God, who am I? That's the wrong question I'm asking. What's the right question? The right question is, God, who are you? That's the question. Every Sunday morning for me and for Moses, it's saying, God, it's not about me. It's about you. Who are you? Many times I feel incredibly inadequate as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, and as a man of God. And I ask that same question. Who am I? The right question is, God, who are you? And some of you, you're facing some incredible challenges in your life. Some of you, you're facing challenges with your health, your spouse, your job, your kids, your finances, your relationship, your emotions. Some of you are facing challenges with your future. You're like, I feel so inadequate about where I'm going. And you're facing all of these incredible challenges, and you feel inadequate, totally inadequate. And you look at everything in front of you, and you say, who am I? Wrong question. Today I pray that you begin to ask the right question. God, who are you? And God gives the same answer that he gave Moses. And Moses started a challenge and said, who am I to do this? And God said, it was real simple. God said, Moses, I will be with you. I will be with you. And that's all you need. In your insecurity and your feeling of inadequacy, all you need to know is that God, if he's calling you to it, he will be with you all the way. That's all you need. God's with you. That's enough. That's sufficient. But, you know, Moses wasn't buying it. He still protested. He protested all of chapter 3. And then chapter 4, he's still protesting. he's still struggling. I mean, he had some severe, you know, severe bouts of insecurity here. I mean, he's struggling through and through. And so he's still dealing with it. And we get down to chapter 4 and verse 10. And these are the verses that changed my life. Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled up. So here Moses got a speech impediment. And he's allowing that to stop him. Right? It's an excuse. He said, God, I just can't do it. I have a speech impediment. I'm not the right man for the job. But look at verse 11 and look at verse 12. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who made you? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. God's sufficiency would trump Moses' insecurity. Now, you see, it begins not with an accurate view of ourselves, but it begins when we have an accurate view of God. And when we have an accurate view of God, it will both shrink us down to size and make us realize that God is big enough to use anybody of any size. And it's kind of, you know, for some of you, this might be, man, I just don't think I'm can do what God wants me to do. God called me to be a parent, I just can't do it. Maybe some of you are saying, hey, God, I can't do it because I have a lack of education. God can't use me. Maybe you believe your friend's response to Jesus is based solely on an excellence, on how excellent your gospel presentation is. And you put so much pressure on yourself. See, God knew your limitations long before you were even aware of them. So we got to stop selling God short. See, God used a stuttering, murdering shepherd to set a whole nation free. And my story is real quick. He's born 80% deaf. And I wasn't until like 2.5 years old until we figured out that I had a hearing loss. I wore hearing aids. And man, the whole world opened up to me. And then, you know, I grew up in a Christian home and went to a private Christian school and asked Jesus to come into my life, became a follower of Christ when I was 7 years old. And what a special day that was for me. And it wasn't long after, I felt like God was calling me to be a preacher someday, or be a pastor. And I was really excited about that idea. I said, man, that's kind of cool. You know, and I kind of grew up and got a little bit older. My middle school years, still at the same Christian school. You know, one day we're talking with a bunch of friends and, hey, we're going to be when we grow up. And got to my turn. I said, "Hey, I think God wants me to be a preacher. God wants me to be a pastor." And all my friends, they meant so well. They were not cruel, but they were trying to be honest. I said, "Scott, you just can't do that." I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Because, you know, Scott, you speak funny, and you can't hear. And the pastor got to be able to speak, and they got to be able to hear." I said, "Well, what do you mean I speak funny?" They had to get the tape recorder. I had to record my voice. Remember the old little, you know, tape recorder, and it put the record button? And I hear myself speak for the very first time. I was like, "I don't sound like that." I said, "No, that's you, Scott." I said, "Man, I sound like I'm from England. I mean, what's up with that?" I said, "Yeah, it's kind of weird, man." Okay, well, you know, so I kind of buried that. I said, "Oh, man." So I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. But in my heart of hearts, I knew that I was going to be a preacher. I just didn't know how we were going to get there. And I knew that there was going to be a point in my life I'm going to have to either go for it or I don't. And so I kind of stayed with the Christian school and same school all the way through. I get to my high school years, and we had chapel at our school. And I think twice a week we had chapel. And about once a month, we had a special chapel where the students in our school can put on their presentation. So the school can put on the chapel. And so you can sign up to sing. You can sign up to play an instrument. You know, you can preach. And a couple of our guys would preach, and I would, you know, and every chapel, every year, I'd be like, "Man, I feel like God poking me. He said, I want you up there. Get up there." "Ah, God, I just can't. I'm just not good enough. I'm inadequate. I can't speak. I speak funny. Can't hear. You got the wrong guy." God kept poking me every month. Once a month, we had that chapel. And by senior year in high school, I was reading my devotion. I was reading Exodus chapter 4. Now, I knew about Moses. I mean, who doesn't know about Moses at this point? But I never read this part of the story. Well, I read in verse 10, and Moses saying, "God, I speak funny." I was like, "That's me." I was like, "Man, me and Moses, we're right on." And then I read the next verse where God says, "Moses, I made you exactly the way I intended. Now go, and I will be with you." And it was a wake-up call in my life. "Scott, you're allowing your insufficiency to control your life. It's time to lay it down and to trust God that he will be with you." So the next time I walked by that school sign-up sheet and the bulletin board in the hallway, I saw a place to preach. I had my pen. I scribbled my name so Billy could read it. You know, just scribbled it. I said, "Okay, Lord, it's on there. It's not pretty, but it's on there." You know? And then I showed up on the day of chapel in a suit and tie. I mean, no one wears a suit and tie at church and at school, but I did. Suit and tie, and everyone in my class was like, "What are you doing, Scott?" "Well, I'm going to preach." I said, "You are?" "Yeah." "Okay, well, good luck." Thank you. And I got up there and I preached the first sermon. You know what my verses were? My very first sermon was Exodus chapter 4, verses 10, 11, and 12. Let's talk about how God can use anybody. If he can use me, he can use you. And you know the rest of the story. I haven't stopped yapping since. Imagine, if you would, what God could do with you. Got to stop asking the wrong question. Who am I? Wrong question. What can I do? Wrong question. What about all my shortcomings and limitations? Wrong question. Right question? God, who are you? Who are you? God, let me see who you are. Show me how your sufficiency can overcome my insecurity. And if you're taking note, when we give God our insufficiency, he begins to show us his glory. Eventually, Moses got the lesson. Later on in his life, later on in the book of Exodus, we find Moses having another conversation with God, and in some ways, Moses is still sounding like his old self. He's telling God, God, you told me to lead these people, but I still don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm still not sure about all this. Who am I? It's still that same vibe. And God, once again, he showed Moses that, hey, I am with you. I am with you, Moses. And that's when we see a turning point in Moses' life. It's like an aha moment. It's a moment in Moses' life where he gets it. And he lays out his concern. Moses laid out all of his anxiety and his worries to God. And God says, hey, Moses, listen, I'm still with you. And in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, Moses finally gets it. Moses responded, God, show me your glorious presence. God, hey, listen, God, I'm done looking at me. I'm done examining my shortcomings, my limitations, my insecurity. God, I want to see you. God, I want to know you. You are with me. God, I might not understand it all, but I'm going to trust you. I'm still struggling with worry, anxiety, and insecurity. That's why I need to see you. I'm done worrying about who am I. God, I just want to focus on who you are. I want to see your glory. Every Sunday morning, it's not you looking at, man, that pastor's got something else. No. It's all about the glory of God. I'm here because of him and him alone. Every time the worship team gets up here, they're not here for the credit and say, look what we've done. The Pastor Tom, he says it all the time, no, it's not about me, it's all about him. The glory of God. God is just using me. God is just using us. God wants to use you for his glory. Hey, as we wrap this up, here's some questions. I want you to ask yourself these questions. Ready? Do you know who God is? No. Do you know who God is? Do you know how big, how awesome, how powerful he is? Here's the second question. Do you know him enough to trust him? That he will be with you. If he's calling you to do something, you do it because you know, because you can trust that he will be with you every step of the way. And then do you believe in his sufficiency more than your own insecurity? And that's the question. And I don't want to pretend to know what all of your challenges are. You may feel totally inadequate. But I do know who your God is. It's the same God that's working in my life. The same God that's working in yours. Now God took all of our insecurity, all of our shortcomings and failures. Our God took all of our sins. Our God took it all on his own shoulders. And he nailed it on the cross. And that cross is the forever payment for your sin. The permanent sign, the cross is the permanent sign to us that Jesus would never leave us. And that he's all that we need. See, your insecurity will never, ever, ever, ever surpass his sufficiency. He is enough. So we could quit putting God in the box. My friend, we got to quit putting limitations on ourselves. Quit putting limitations on God. Trust him. And let him get all the glory for great things he has done. Our God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. To help us, even when we're weak, even when we're struggling, even when we feel inadequate, that you will be with us and you will enable us and give us the power and the strength to overcome. Oh God, you've won the battle. You've already won it. God, help us to walk in victory. Help us not to listen to the lies of the evil one to tell us that we're losers, that we're failures, that we're nobody, that we're not good enough. God, help us to listen to your precious voice that's calling us into a deeper depth, into a deeper walk with you. And help us not to put you in a box and put limitations. God, help us to know that you are with us. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.